We thank you, Father, because you're good. We thank you, Father, because you're kind. We thank you, Father, because you're wonderful. We thank you, Father, for the abundance of your grace. We thank you for the gift of righteousness. We bless your holy name for your presence. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for all that you will still do. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your life that is in us. We say, hallowed be that name. We say, thank you, Father. Now, so we declare this meeting open in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to the Spirit of the living God today, in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Good evening, and you're welcome to night school today. I am very, excited to be with us. Can we just take this simple prayer and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, open my eyes to see tonight, in the name of Jesus. Can we go ahead and take that prayer? In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you open our eyes to see your word tonight, in the name of Jesus. We know that you have spoken to us. We know that you have spoken to us as always. We ask that our eyes of understanding be enlightened, in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to comprehend that which is spoken to us tonight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, from verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, from verse 11. Today we are going to start a series on eternal life. We're going to start a series on eternal life. And we are going to be exploring what this life means. Hallelujah. We're going to be exploring the purpose of this life. Hallelujah. We're going to be exploring the component of this life. All right. Now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Or before we read 1 John 5, 11 now, shall we read John chapter 3 and verse 16? John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, John 3:16 is a very popular scripture in Christianity. In fact, non-Christians and even all, I can say that a lot of people that are non-Christians that have heard one thing about the gospel or the other before are familiar with John 3:16. All right. I mean, I've been aware of John 3:16 since I was a little boy. So popular. And the Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world. Now pay attention, please. God loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Surely that love must be great. Such that God gave his one and only son. Why? You know, that God loved the world is one thing. All right? God loved the world is one thing. And so he found something lacking in the world. Something was lacking about the world, and God loved it. And so in order to fix what was lacking about the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in this son shall not perish, but have eternal life. I know that some versions render it everlasting life, but that is not correct. It is eternal life. It is eternal life. So the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus, according to John 3:16, was such that men who believed in him may receive eternal life. That was the purpose. So the love of God is demonstrated or is accepted by a person when he receives eternal life. So the eternal life of God is, the eternal life that God gives it to man is a product of his love. In fact, It is the gesture of his love. You know, Jesus was speaking about his same mission, his own mission, Jesus himself now. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But again, he says, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly." Now, if you read John 3:17, the Bible says that the Son does not come into this world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. So, as I said earlier, something is need saving. And the answer of God to the salvation of the world is eternal life. So, what then is this eternal life? What is so special about eternal life? Before we can even talk about whether we have it or not. I mean, 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life," again, "and this life is in his Son." Now, these are two scriptures that confirms again that we have eternal life. Anyone that believes in him, John 3:16, have eternal life. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I come that you may have life." 1 John 5:11, it says, "This is God's testimony that anyone that has received the Son has received the eternal life." So can somebody say, "I have eternal life"? Can you be louder about it? Can you say it confidently? I have eternal life. Now, what then is eternal life? To understand eternal life, we must first understand what life is. What exactly is life? You see, it is very important for us to understand certain things, okay? Otherwise, we're going to abuse them. When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And a gift that you are not aware of, you can't possess. Or let me put it this way, that a gift that you do not know how to use can be useful to you. Imagine that I gift you a car and you know not less to nothing about driving a car. And suppose that the person was even blind. Okay, let's put it this way. Suppose that you gift a car to a blind man that does not know how to drive, neither does he have anyone that's going to drive the person. The gift will be there, the car will be there, but he will not be able to use it. So there are men, hallelujah, likewise there are men, or let me say there are men believers today that are blinded spiritually to the gift of God, which is eternal life. And so because they are blinded spiritually to eternal life, hallelujah, they are unable to operate it, they are unable to live it. So in order not to be blinded, spiritually speaking now, to eternal life, we need to study it. We need to understand it. And we need to operate it. Hallelujah. Back to the first question. What is life? Now, the language life refers to the form and the manifestation of a thing. What is called life is the form and the manifestation of a thing. So basically what we're saying is this, that when I call something a goat, for example, it is the life of a goat that makes a goat be a goat. Someone listen to me. It is the life of grass that makes the grass be grass. It is the life of a human that makes a human being a human being. Why? Because that life is the form and the manifestation of the thing. So definitely, when we are talking about life, We're not talking about it in terms of biology. You know, biology might define life into, you know, having a system that is operating within you such that you are breathing. Whereas biology, life, spiritually speaking now, refers to the form, the shape that a thing takes. What the thing is known for, the form. How the thing appears, the form. Secondly, the manifestation. So it is the life that determines the purpose of everything. Let me repeat this. If the life is the form and the manifestation of a thing, that means that the life would determine the purpose of the thing. That thing cannot remain in purpose. Say, for example, that if life should leave a human body, I would say now, the body can no longer serve any purpose. I would say now, it is the life that not just gives the thing a shape, gives it its shape, it also gives it a purpose. Apart from giving it a purpose, it also determines the manifestation of the thing. Now, if this is true, it then means that everything is alive. You know, there's biology that teaches that there are living things and non-living things. Hallelujah. But naturally, there are no such things as living or non-living things. I mean, in terms of biology, there are living things and there are non-living things. But generally speaking, life can be split into two. Generally, we can have, you know, animate life and inanimate life. That is the life of things that can move, that can behave, that can breathe, and the life of things that can't move, that are inanimate. The things that we rather call dead or non-living things. So basically, understand this tonight, that everything has a life. Everything that has a form and has a purpose has a life. I repeat, everything that has a form and has a purpose has a life. Because the life is the form and the manifestation of the thing. So in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look at this. The Bible now says that, and the earth was without form and void. Look at the language. The earth was without form and void. That is, the earth did not have a form, and neither can it bring forth any manifestation. So the earth was dead. Is somebody listening to this? So originally speaking, the earth lacked life. This is what Genesis chapter 2 and 1 and 2 were saying. That the earth lacked life. The earth didn't have life. It was without form and it was void. The Bible now says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. Hovering upon it. To bring forth life. And as the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters, God spoke. And God said, let there be light. And the light came forth. And the rest is history. I was going now. So, the life is the form. Please note this. When we say life now, we are referring to the form, the manifestation of a thing. Or we can also define life as the particular ingredient, okay? The particular ingredient that creates the definitive existence of a particular thing. The particular ingredient that creates the definitive existence of a particular thing. For example, The life of a man is the particular ingredient, okay, that distinguishes man from every other thing. I mean, it is the life of man that distinguishes man from monkeys. It is the life of man that distinguishes man from goats. It is the life of man that distinguishes man from lions. I want to get it now. So the kind of life that is recipient in a thing, I mean, the kind of life that is residual in a thing would define its existence. I want you to notice these things now. The kind of life that is in a particular thing would define its very existence. Very important. So it means that if you have eternal life in you, eternal life should define your very existence. Hallelujah. Now, that being said, they're very different. There are many kinds of life. Or let me say, there are many categories of life. I wrote down a few of them. We have human life. The life of humans, or say the life of men. Hallelujah. Now, the life that humans possesses is recipient in their spirit. It is the spirit of a man that giveth the life. I was gonna now. The life that men are, it is the spirit that gives the life. I was gonna now. And something in the body is encoded. Is someone listening to me? Is encoded to keep the body alive so that the spirit can stay there. And that thing is what is known as blood. So the blood, the life of a man, though essentially is supplied by the spirit, but is connected to the blood. So when you take away the blood of a man, I want to get it now, the spirit of the man departs from the body, and so the life is lost. I'm going somewhere. So let's understand this, that human life is powered by spirits. It's powered by spirits and connected to his blood. Now, we have human life. I mean, we have animal life. The kind of life that animals possess is very different because animals don't have spirits. The life of animals is purely and firmly attached to their blood. The life-giving factor of animals is their blood. The life of the animals is in their blood. They don't have spirits. They don't have anywhere to go to. I mean, when animals die, they just die. That's it. That's the end. It's as if they never existed. And then we have plant life. I mean, plants have life too. And the life of plants is attached to the nutrients they get in the soil. I mean, take away the plant from the soil and then that's it. Regardless of the kind of planting, maybe take it away from the soil. That's it. I would go there now. Plant life. And then, of course, we have mineral life. This is the kind of life that you will find in, you know, minerals. Minerals such as gold, such as silver, such as iron, such as special stones, diamonds. You know, they have their life too. They may be inanimate. They may not breathe. They may not eat as we do, but they do have a life. Because it is the life in them that distinguishes them from everything else. So the life in gold, all right, is the same across the world. Regardless of the regions where you take the gold from, the particles must be the same. And the particles are not the same, one is fake and the other is original. That's how it works. Basically, that's how it works. The life distinguishes the idea, I mean the things. The life distinguishes the thing. So the life of humans distinguishes humans above everything else. And the life of plants distinguishes plants above everything else. I mean, from everything else. The life of minerals, same thing. And then we have inanimate life. This is what we will call the life of things such as furniture, things such as lighting, I mean, electric lighting, bricks, houses, all of those things, they do have life. Let's not forget that it is the form and the manifestation. So anything that has a form and has a manifestation has life. Are we together now? And of course, we have spirit life. Very important. Now, we have said before that the life of humans are powered by spirits. The life of humans are embedded in the spirits. When the spirit leaves the body, and then that's it. The man is dead. I was gonna now. Now, the spirit itself has a life. I was gonna now. Let's not get confused. The spirit itself has a life. In fact, all spirits have lives. That is the distinguishing factor of every spirit. Spirits differ, I tell you, in nature, in office, they differ. And the distinguishing factor of all spirits is their life. I want to get it now. And then we have eternal life. Eternal life. Now, what we call eternal life refers to the life of certain beings that are eternal in nature. It refers to the life of beings, a class of beings that are separate from the rest of all creation. It is an exclusive life that belongs to a class of beings. Is somebody listening to this tonight? So because of this different kind of life, eternal life distinguishes man, or say, distinguishes the spirits that possesses them from every other kind of spirit and from every other kind of things that exist. Hallelujah. I forgot to mention earlier that spirits have everlasting life. Now, let me repeat again, that spirits have everlasting life. You see, humans do not have everlasting life. Animals do not have everlasting life. Plants do not have everlasting life. Minerals, inanimate objects, they don't have everlasting life. But spirits have everlasting life. Because they don't die in the sense of death, in the sense of ceasing to exist. Spirits don't die. So this is why John 3:16 cannot be, you know, the end of John 3:16 cannot be everlasting life. Because, well, all men already have everlasting life in their spirit. And so though they may be able to leave this world temporarily, are we together now? They may be able to leave their bodies. It does not mean that their spirit will cease to exist. No. The spirit will continue to exist. And so for this reason, they have everlasting life. But what we are talking about tonight is the eternal life. Hallelujah. So to understand this life, the only thing we can say about eternal life at this point is that it is the very life of the eternal God. Or say, it is the very life of the eternal being. So the life that is in the eternal beings is what is called the eternal life. It is this life that makes them that makes them eternal beings. So when we call God eternal God, invisible God, eternal God, how great thou art. Hallelujah. Now, the eternal God is an eternal God because he has eternal life. It is actually the life he possesses that distinguishes him from every other kind of thing that has been put, that exists. I think you are beginning to understand life now. So the form and manifestation of the eternal life is manifested in the eternal God. It is what sets him apart. Hallelujah. So note this down. Eternal life refers to the life of the eternal being. Or say, we can say, eternal life refers to the life of the Elohim. I think I've said this before. Let me say it again. That the language Elohim, okay, is not singular. It is plural. Elohim is a plural word, meaning more than two, actually. Not more than one, but more than two. From the Hebrew vocabulary, Elohim is the word that means more than two beings. Are we together now? So in the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So it is written, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Referring to, rather than just one person, but referring to a class of beings that creates. I was going to now. And the Bible says, and then the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And then Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. But that's not our emphasis. Our emphasis is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, after God, this eternal God. Okay, let's keep saying the eternal God now, so that we can understand. So after the eternal God created the earth, created everything in the earth, hallelujah, after he did all of that, hallelujah, it now said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, that let us create man in our image and after our likeness. Please pay attention. Let us create man in our image and after our likeness, and let this man have dominion. Our emphasis is not on the dominion he has, but our emphasis is on the fact that God created this man in his form and in his manifestation. God said, we're going to create somebody. I mean, let us create somebody that is just like us in form and just like us in manifestation. In essence, God was saying, let us create a being and give that being eternal life. Hallelujah. Let us create a being and give that being eternal life. Now, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 now explains exactly how God did this. Genesis 2, 7 says, and God molded man, this being, he molded him out of the dust of the earth. Okay? He made a statue. And then the Bible says, and God breathed into him the breath or spirit of life. Now please pay attention. The Bible says, God gave unto this sand the breath or spirit of life. Now listen to this. God is a spirit. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. And now he had created a world that is physical. And so he wanted to create a lord over the world that would be physical too. Not just spiritual. So he made a sand that would serve as a casing for the man. He made a sand. He made a statue and designed the sand. And then he breathed into the sand. Are we together now? He breathed into the sand the breath or spirit of life. Now, look at this. The breath he gave unto that sand was a spirit. Agree. It was a spirit. Now, this spirit itself has a life in it. That's why it is called spirit of life. What life? The spirit of the life of God. So God gave unto the sand the breath, I mean, a spirit that was carrying his life. So Adam was not a man, hallelujah. And this is why when you look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew, what you will see there is that when they've been discussing everybody, and they'll be saying, this is the son of this, Moses is the son of this, that's the son of that. When it got to Adam, they said, the son of God. Adam, the son of God. Adam was a son of God. He was, that was until before he fell. He was indeed a son of God, because though his body was made with hands, his spirit was not made, it was born. Hallelujah. Though his body was made, his spirit was not made, his spirit was born. So, because of this, he was the son of God. And he had in him the spirit of life. We're going somewhere with this. We're trying to help us understand eternal life from the beginning. And because he had this spirit of life, we will later see in Genesis chapter 2 and chapters 3, the level of intelligence that this son of God had. I mean, it was a great level of intelligence. It was not there when Eve was being created. I mean, it was asleep when Eve was being created. God took out of his rib, closed it back, and then, you know, made the woman. And yet, when he saw the woman, he recognized the woman instantly. He didn't need to be told who the woman was. The level of awareness, the level of intelligence. He gave names to all of the animals without running out of ideas. The level of intelligence. I mean, he could play, he could practically, you know, have conversations and play and send lions on errands. Why? Because he possessed a life. And this life in him makes him superior to everything around him. One. Now, he is not superior to any of these things because he studied. Hello? He is not superior to any of these things because he studied or because he went through one thing or the other. No. He is superior because he had the life in him. So, eternal life in him made him a lord over all those things. It didn't stop there. And made him equal with God. I know this is a very tough word to use, but it is the truth. Eternal life in him made him a partaker or a sharer with God. You see in the Bible explains, you see that the encounter Adam had with God was quite different from the encounter anyone else had with God. The Bible did record that God spoke to Adam and Eve face to face. You don't have to believe me, just read the Bible. Even after the sin, the Bible said that they heard that God was in the garden. Are we together now? So it means that God entered into the garden that was walking. And so when they heard that he had entered into the garden, they hid themselves. He wasn't just speaking to them. They could see him. Ha! Physically. Because they were sharers. The body had not been corrupted. They were sharers. They have the same form. They have the same manifestation. They were sharers. And so when God told them that they were going to die, necessarily he wasn't talking about them dying and not waking up. No. He wasn't even talking about the death of the spirit, no. He was talking about a separation Because if eternal life in them, I want to get it now, is what qualifies them to be sharers with God. Death in that language would mean that the spirit in them would become separated, such that the life in that spirit would leave the spirit. You know, one of the many renditions we say about Adam and Eve is that the spirit of God left them. No, the spirit did not leave them. No, the spirit did not leave them. In fact, the spirit had left them, because we know that the devil could not manufacture a spirit. I want to get it now. The devil cannot manufacture a spirit. We know this for sure. So if the spirit had left them, they would have died. So if the spirit had left them and the devil cannot manufacture a spirit, it means that they would have died instantly. I would get it now. But the spirit did not leave. It was the life of God in their spirit that got separated. So from the moment the life of God in that spirit left, the nature of the spirit changed from life to death instantly, because the form and manifestation of that spirit had been transformed. Are we together now? So we say men died, not because the spirit left. Are we together now? This is where the confusion is for many believers. So men died because eternal life in them left. So the death of Adam, or say the fall of Adam, was because eternal life left him. And so because eternal life left him, his spirit became a slave to the new consciousness that he received. Are we together now? Bible says they received a new consciousness, and they knew that they were naked. They received a new consciousness. And so the spirit in him that used to be controlled by eternal life now became a slave to this new consciousness. And this is where the enslavement began. This is how a man that was in control of everything became prey to lions. He became prey to animals. He became prey to very fierce animals. The same animals he had dominion over. But this animal saw him the next day and knew something was wrong. He's now food to them. Ha! The kind of life in it that was in Adam yesterday that made him a king over lions, okay, had left. The next day the lion saw him, he was food. So there is a kind, hallelujah, there is a kind of life you can possess. And because that life is in you, it makes you a king today. And if that life is not in you altogether, you can be a servant the next day. So what this means is this, that you may have been prey to the devil. You may have been prey to the kingdom of darkness before you receive eternal life. But from the day you receive eternal life, know this, from that day you've been crowned a king over there. This is what is meant in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, that we should give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He said, who has delivered us from the power of, you know, darkness, and has planted us. He said, the Bible says he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we have moved from slavery to kingship. How? Because we received eternal life. Is somebody listening to me now? We have moved from slavery to kingship because we have eternal life. Can somebody say, I have moved from slavery to kingship? I have moved from slavery to kingship. Can you say this again? I have moved from slavery to kingship. I have moved from, you know, victim to overcomer in Christ Jesus. I am no more a victim. I already overcame because I have eternal life. So it was the life in them that left, and then they became dead. The former manifestation of God to them left. They were no longer equal to God. They were no longer like God. They were no longer anything like God. Then they became mere man. They became mere men powered by a spirit that has been corrupted. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, from this week, by the grace of God, we're going to start again. I mean, continue from the regeneration of the spirit. Okay, the regeneration of the spirit. And now the workings of eternal life in this time and dispensation. by the grace of God. Now, I believe you may have one question or the other. Whatever your questions are, you can compile them and make them available ahead of next week so that we can answer them in the middle of the meeting or after the meeting. You can just drop the questions on the group now, or you can send them personally to the School of Prosperity and Influence or to my personal inbox. All right? Now we're about to pray. Tonight we're going to be confessing that we have eternal life in us. I want somebody to speak out this evening and say, I have eternal life. I am no longer a prey. I have eternal life. I am no longer a victim. I already overcame in the name of Jesus because I have the life of God in me. Can you go ahead and declare this in the name of Jesus?